Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
So welcome to the show. Now this goes out on Mintwave Radio live. And all you need to do is ask Alexa for Mintwave Radio, or you can go to KarenRobertsCoaching.com/Mintwave-radio if you want to listen in live and to see our schedule of all the other show hosts. If you're listening on podcasts, you can go to KarenRobertsCoaching.com/podcast-network to see my podcast and other podcasts in the network. You can download the app for Apple and Android, and please subscribe and follow, or feel free to leave a comment, leave a review. Now, today's episode is 108, and today we have Kelly Chester, who is a well-being coach, and we're going to be talking about neurodiversity and running a business whilst staying calm in the chaos. So my name's Karen Roberts. I'm your host. Now we provide a platform for coaches, consultants, therapists and healers to get their message heard to the people who need it. So we own Mintwave Radio Station and the Raising Vibrations podcast network. And we also have a directory. So come and find the right fit for you. You can just go to KarenRobertsCoaching.com/directory. And if you'd like to be featured and have access to 1 million views over the year, then get in touch. So Kelly is a neurodivergent business owner and author of Unfiltered. She's the founder of the Stretch Zone Mind Gym, and she helps those who are struggling to access mainstream gyms and health clubs. Now, this could be due to being a single parent makes it difficult, right? A carer, or if you have a hidden disability or chronic illness or anxiety and any other mental health conditions, diversity and inclusion is at the heart of all of Kelly's classes and well-being events. So welcome, Kelly, to the show. Thank you for being here. If you'd like to share with the audience a little bit about who you are and share a bit of your story.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for inviting me, Karen. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Lovely. Well, my name's Kelly Chester. I'm from Grimsby. Grimsby is in the northeast, so it's pretty cold at the moment. I used to live in London, so it's a little bit warmer there.
Is it? Oh, it must be cold, yeah, then.
It is. I'm single mum to an 11-year-old. He has neurodiversity, like myself. And I wanted to explain in this podcast today more about what neurodiversity and inclusion is all about, because I'm still learning, and living in Grimsby, a lot of this terminology is only just getting to my area, probably a little bit more open in London and other areas, but I'm trying to get it out there in simple terms, because I think it's just very important to actually get this movement out there properly to the right people.
So you're doing this now, but how did you come to be doing this? So is this because of your son? You said that you suffer as well. So yes. How long have you been doing this? What were you doing before? What's your story up to this point?
Okay, well, I've got a social care background. I worked in the disability sector. I started as a care assistant, age 16. I'd always been in that sort of caring mindset. I looked after my nana when I was about 8, because she had rheumatoid arthritis, so she really struggled to get about. So I used to help her with opening the medications, keeping her company, helping her on and off the toilet. So I was really in that role from a very, very young age. And I really struggled with schooling. So that's why I sort of went the other route. You know, looking after people, making people laugh.
Yeah. So that's your calling. You found your calling.
I certainly did, yes. But it was not an easy route, because I wanted to go into nursing, but I couldn't pass the exams. So you needed to pass maths and English and all your O levels, everything else. Then it became GCSEs. So everything was a struggle. But I actually loved what I did, but I couldn't actually get into the profession that I wanted to get in. So when I wrote about my story, I wrote about going the scenic route. So I haven't gone a direct route like most people would go. And there's been loads and loads of bumps in the road. So I wanted to tell my fascinating story. It's not a trauma story. A lot of people have said, oh, you shouldn't be charging to tell your trauma story. And I was like, it's not a trauma story. It's got very funny stories in there about my mishaps, misadventures. One of them jumping out of a plane.
I wrote my book in lockdown and it was 2020 or was it 2021? But it came out last year in March.
Awesome. And yeah. What was the trigger for you? What made you decide to actually write a book?
Well, I didn't plan to write a book, but because I want to become a motivational speaker, because people in the neurodivergent community, they're not getting heard. So I started doing my little rants, my little talks on Facebook, talking about the carers and people who I call the hidden army, who was really keeping things together during lockdown, because it was very difficult to actually look after if you've got a disabled child or you've got parents who are really, really struggling because they've got a disability or a chronic illness. It was really, really bad on people's mental health and their well-being. And things are hard enough as it is without a pandemic for people who have got hidden disabilities or chronic illnesses. We function quite well in the community until something like that would happen. Now, you might say, oh, well, we all went through the pandemic. But if you're already struggling, it's going to be tenfold for people who have got mental health problems or they can't get to gyms. And all the gyms was closed down and they kept McDonald's open. So I was rants about, I called it Fat Donald's because it was all about the profits before keeping people well. So yeah, I would, even though I was struggling myself, I kept people active online because I teach chair-based yoga, Pilates and yin yang. So these are all my modalities that I do. So I would keep people entertained online with my little talks, a few exercises, just keeping them connected. And then I started getting people on Zoom so that we could have a couple with Kel. And we'd just be chatting. Because people felt so isolated because they was on their own. But it was bringing this little community together.
Right.
So then I got noticed online. So I was part of a network and they said, would you like to teach your class for Mama Tribe? So I thought it was to 200 people. It was to 23,000 people. So I was teaching to 23,000 people. Then I got found by this book coach who said, we'd love to hear your story. So I went in a book called Wild Women Rising, which was talking about my dyslexia, trials and tribulations of a dyslexic genius. Then I decided I wanted to write my book because people wanted to hear more of my story. I got such a great feedback from being a co-author in that book. And the ladies in the book as well were such amazing support.
Fantastic. So when we talk about, can you explain to some people might not totally understand what neurodiversity, what does this cover? What are we talking about here?
Okay, so anybody can be neurodiverse. Not everybody can be neurodivergent. So this is where it gets a little bit tricky. Because you could actually become neurodiverse through injury or stress or burnout, and you will start to struggle with everyday life. So if you are diagnosed with, this is the main umbrella, dyslexia, dyspraxia, ADHD, autism, highly functioning anxiety, and sensory issues. So then the main umbrella of being neurodivergent, but you can become neurodiverse if you're starting to struggle due to stress, anxiety, burnout, and you're starting to really struggle with everyday life. So most people can get on with life and breeze through life relatively easy. And what I mean by that is you can go through the school system, the college system, and you won't really have any roadblocks. But if you have like dyslexia or dyspraxia, things that you can't see, you're not able to be able to navigate the exam system, or you can't learn in the normal way. And that's where I've had my difficulty, because I look so-called normal, very fit, very active. I can stand on my head. I can do the splits. But you put me into certain situations and I'll struggle. And then I'll be called a diva, I'm overreacting, let's say the lighting's too much, the crowd's too much, I've been called a diva, or you're acting up, especially in the work situation.
Right.
And things started to get worse for me through about 2006, when it was austerity. So that's mm-hmm. when they started to cut things in social care. They would take a lot of our help away within the social care setting. So that's when I started to mess up within my job. So many people who have a hidden disability, you put on a mask. So you are trying to function in everyday society and it's exhausting. So when people say you're lazy or you're acting, you are acting because you're actually trying to act like the way everybody else does, but it's not your natural way.
Mm. Yeah, so I totally understand that. My eldest daughter has just found out she's slightly autistic, and she's on the spectrum. And that's why. And apparently what I didn't know is that it's more difficult to diagnose in women than men, because women tend to mask it. Well, there can be mimics, mm-hmm. which is, now a lot, so much makes sense now. But because it wasn't so obvious.
No.
It was, again, and I'll admit, I'd be pushing her because I think you're being lazy, or come on, get up, get out there. And it's been a massive eye-opener, So... how did this, even with your, with your son, how is he suffering?
He's 11 now. I knew from the age of 3 that he was a little bit different. And I don't mean different in a sense where he wouldn't fit in. I just knew that he was struggling to walk. He fell nearly every day because the dyspraxia, people think it's clumsy child syndrome. It's more about how you process things. So his brain's working faster than his legs can go. Mm. So all about orientation, how you take in your normal environment. So he kept falling over. His speech and language was a little bit delayed. I didn't really notice that until the health visitor said the way we communicated, other people wouldn't be able to understand. So we just have this way of communicating. So I use a lot of gestures, body language. So we would do that naturally. But she said he needs to learn to talk before he gets to nursery so that other people can understand him. Now he can't shut him up.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for.
But he's amazing. But it took me until only 2 years ago to actually get an official diagnosis with dyspraxia. He'd actually ended up in A&E about 11 times, and he had 2 real major accidents because he had no fear of danger. If you see sheer drop at any destination, he would be there hanging over the edge.
Oh, a little bit dodgy, just a little bit worrying as a mum.
Yeah, a little bit like me jumping out of a plane by myself. You've certainly haven't got no boundaries on that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, how is he coping through school? Are there things in place at the school to help, or do you not find that it's enough?
I don't think it's enough. We've never had any help or support. Everything I've had to do, I've had to really fight for it. He can't wait to leave school, and I can't actually say to him, well, you know, suck it up kind of thing. I'm like, well, I can't actually wait for you to leave school, because then you can help me with my business. Because he's a little entrepreneur in the making.
Ah, well, there you go. And that's the problem. In school, that's not taught, is it? You know, you're trained to be a little worker bee and get caught in the system. So have you found that people tend to excel better in certain jobs when they have these issues?
Most definitely. I was talking about how I began to write my book. I did 20 years of journaling after learning Reiki. Now, Reiki is a watch, follow, feel. It's bringing in all the senses. So with a lot of things at school, it's like it's on the chalkboard and you've got to copy and you've got to write it down. The exams, it's all written. Whereas many of us who have got neurodiversity or neurodivergent, we're big picture thinkers. We see things in high definition, full colour. You can smell stuff. I get out the car and I take pictures of clouds. I'm just seeing the life in vibrant colours. And my son, he's so good with food. So he's getting into cooking now. He's obsessed with Gordon Ramsay.
Right. So more creative types. Is there a pattern, or is it just like everybody else? It's just all over the place. Or do you see a pattern that certain people are going to tend to be more creative, maybe because of certain issues?
Most definitely. I'm trying really hard to get funding for the next stage of my business, because I want to create a course myself from a neurodivergent perspective, because I find that there's a lot of courses out there, but they're not actually people who have lived that experience. And if you haven't lived that experience, then you're not able to come from that perspective.
No. How do you know? Yes, it's very difficult to put yourself in that position if you've not lived it.
How I find it, form filling has been a difficult one for me, and emails. So I've tried many email systems, doesn't work for me. Text and phone for me. I'd go back to basics.
So well, it's really got to find the right thing for you. And I suppose that goes for everybody regardless, isn't it? It's work, it is. Go with what works for you.
And a lot of the methods, it's not expensive to actually make things a lot more inclusive. So people think, oh, it's going to be too expensive, it's going to be too much to actually make these provisions. Sure. Talking about my son, he would often come down while I was teaching online. Mummy, I'm hungry. People love that. They love the reality.
That's the beauty of, that's the beauty of an online business though, isn't it? It is that this is going to happen. You've got kids. It doesn't matter.
No.
So you're going to get, tell us a little bit when you say about you're trying to get more funding for your business, but share a little bit about your business. What specifically is your business? What do you do and how do you help?
Well, my well-being business, that's actually doing very well. But my real vocation is to actually get more into more schools, colleges, to try and get them to do their learning in a different way. Now, something came up the other day about Rishi wanting to get people to do maths until the age of 18. That really made me explode. And I got a lot of backlash on my social media, because I'm not afraid to ruffle feathers. I just said, there's no point in making people do it to 18 if they can't add up at 16. Sort it out. So I got a backlash because my language sometimes gets people going. But I didn't mean that they need to sort it out, as in the people who can't add up. I mean, they need to actually get in early from 3, from 4, to actually find the right learning styles for the individuals. So I want to actually be in there as a consultant, as a speaker, to actually give some little pointers of how they can help. Get the Smarties out. Get the cakes out. My son, I'm teaching him maths, business, by cooking. So he's cooking. He's got to work out the ingredients and the shopping, how much it's going to cost. So real life stuff. As opposed to
which should be taught anyway, shouldn't it? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. Put it into a day-to-day life experience so that when they get out in the world, they can live. I mean, it's mad.
An example. I worked my way up to an NVQ assessor in Southwark Council. But the language that they used in the NVQ courses did not relate to the care assistance language. So I would spend my whole time just rearranging the writing and rewriting it myself so it was in an easy to say language. So anything that I do, it's as I speak. But people like to posh things up to make themselves look good.
Yes.
I call them the soups or the clipboard managers.
Yeah, it makes them feel important because they're using complicated language where it really is really not necessary, isn't it? Just put it in layman's terms and be done.
This means take someone to the toilet.
Yes. There you go. I mean, if you want to use complicated language, complicated language for certain things, admittedly, yes, okay, lawyers and solicitors and doctors maybe, but, you know, most professions, there is no need. Yeah, you're just poshing up. There's no need for that. So that's what you're looking to do. You're looking to get into schools and, well, I mean, good luck. Yeah. Kelly, they're still in the Victorian ages. I think the whole system needs an upgrade, doesn't it? And to introduce entrepreneurship.
I'm very determined.
Good for you.
I keep going. And I've actually found a couple of people that I really want to work with. And I know exactly how much I need for my funding. I had a meeting 2 days ago and I've got 3 funding leads. So fingers crossed.
Awesome. So Kelly is going to make a difference in this country on how children can then excel, because that's all it is. And I suppose they're made to feel like they're stupid or they're unworthy because they can't do the things in the way that they're expected of them. I mean, we had a sort of a similar experience. Like, so as I said, my eldest daughter's just found out now. She was brought up in Portugal. We lived in Portugal from when she was about 4. So she went into the Portuguese system and she struggled because everything was out of a book, you know, even when they got to age to where they're doing science, or there was no science lab, you know, there was no nothing. Every subject, it was just a textbook and or a workbook. And so I thought, to be fair, that she was struggling more because it's in a second language. If she's off daydreaming, the words are just going in one ear and out the other. And you know, they say, oh, she's away with the fairies. I think, well, yeah, that's okay. She's young. And it really didn't bother me because I really didn't realise how much she was struggling. I was thinking it was a language issue. And because it wasn't, she was a creative type. And so because it wasn't, it was just learn this way and that's the only way. We actually moved back to the UK because I thought there'll be more subjects for her. There'd be dance and there'd be drama. And even the artwork, the art was very, it was maths, really. It was all not creative art. So there was nothing for her there in the school system that I knew would work. I just sort of accepted the fact, okay, every child is different. She's not academic. She's a creative. So she needs to have subjects that are going to help her along. But she still struggled coming back to the UK. But yeah, we still didn't, we just thought that, oh, you know, all the sort of chopping and changing. But now we have that diagnosis, like,
yes,
right. Yeah. So I think the Portugal was the red herring, because we're just thinking, oh, it's because she spoke the language really well. Mimic.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Good at mimicking. She picked it up. She talked it fine. It was the writing, everything else. So, yeah, I think it was a little bit of a red herring because we thought that was the problem. And now we can look back and go, oh, yeah, that's why you were struggling. Yeah. Yeah. But I suppose, are there things in place to really help children and to sort of, you know, because quite often you find that the children are just labelled either naughty or, you know, they're, rather than actually finding out, well, why, you know, do they have ADHD? Maybe they need to go and run around in the playground a little bit more. Sitting at a desk for so many hours isn't necessarily the right way to get the best out of these kids. You know, let them burn it off in the playground, get them come back and maybe do shorter spurts of things. But I suppose the whole system is based on this one style of learning. So how are you going to, offer up an alternative? I mean, yeah, with visual, audio or kinesthetic. So a combination of those three, whereas it seems to be just one.
Definitely. Yeah, I actually was lucky enough to get him in a totally immersive school. So wow. they actually, if they were doing history, they'd decorate the whole school as if they was in that period. So that was really good. But now he's gone to a normal comprehensive school now, which is strict.
And how have you noticed? Have you noticed a change in how he's even feeling?
Definitely. He's coming home and going, I turn up every day, I do my work, and I'm getting low scores. So it said, I don't see the point in keep going because it's demoralising.
Yeah.
So that's what
that makes a lot of sense.
Forwards to keep going.
Yeah, sure.
He's coming, I'm 51 now. So he's coming, like this is 40 years later, he's coming home with the same stuff that I was saying.
Yeah, nothing's changed. Nothing has changed.
And he said the kids that are naughty and disruptive or they don't hardly do much, they get better scores than me.
Bless him. But then again, like you say, you know, there's going to be something that he's going to excel in. Just like, you know, the problem I have with all this, with the labelling, is that it is putting people in little pockets, and rather than, you know, we're all different, that person is going to be better at that and less good at that, and that person is going to be better at that, but they, because of these sort of the norm, I mean, what is normal, Kelly? Come on.
Exactly.
Do you know anybody who is quote normal? I'm not sure that I do.
Well, that's
everyone's different. Everyone is just different in how they are. And there's just too much, I don't know, negativity around all of this because, come on, we all come in different shapes and sizes, different mental capacities, physical capacities. And that's all good, isn't it? Work to your strengths.
Definitely, but they've tried to pigeonhole everybody into the same box, and that's the problem. And us who rebel against it, we're seen as naughty or not paying attention, but we're not, we're bored. We want to bring that flavour and that colour to things.
Yes, and definitely. And of course, years ago, they stopped her or they cut back on a lot of the exercise, which kids need extra exercise. Even that sound seems crazy to me because they didn't see it as an important thing as the academia. Yeah, but they work hand in hand because if they're going to exercise, more. When they come back, they're going to be more focused to do the work rather than sit there all day at a desk. The whole thing just does seem like, you know, I think they made a few mistakes there. Maybe we should, well, not go back, go forward.
They need to go back on the food, though, because what I've noticed is they've got a lot of fast food now in schools. It's like run like a business or a restaurant. Now, I worked in a vegan Caribbean diner in Crystal Palace. I run my wellbeing meetings there, and they did lots of studying on hyperactivity and children. And if your children are not getting the right nutrients in the beginning.
Omega-3s, fish. I mean, we were told it was brain food, weren't we? You need your omega-3s, definitely.
That's why I said we really need to go back to basics with a lot of the schooling, not just the academic stuff. So bring in the cooking classes, how to run a household, how to run a business. Bring it into real life.
Life skills. Yeah, and business skills. And like you say, I love what you say about them, about the doing the math and you're taking it upon yourself to teach your own child, you know, really, we should, you know, what's the point in school? But yeah, I love that, doing it in ingredients and how to make things. Yeah, you've got to work it out. And that makes more sense, because then you're bringing those life lessons into your day-to-day life. But they don't seem to do any of that. So with you, so it sounds like you've got is this two separate business? So let's go for your well-being business. So your well-being business is your Pilates and yoga chair-based. Is that, or is there anything other
than that? That is, yes. But that will all mesh together, because one of the things that I've learned is what's helped with my neurodiversity. So when I had the burnout, it was the yoga that got me through. When I was having to mask and I'd be exhausted, then I'd come home and do an hour's Reiki. So it's all those little strategies that I had in place that kept me sane. Because when you're having to mask all day, it is exhausting. So you need that wind down time. And it's just showing like the staff or the teachers or teams, these little things that you can do, just sitting in the chair for 5 minutes, do a few stretches, a few exercises, shout into a pillow if things get too much, go for a walk. Because everyone's tied to the desk now, or it's Zoom, or they've always got the mobiles with them. It's you need to have that little disconnect. So it's like switching yourself off. So it's all techniques that are free, which wouldn't cost the company anything.
Right. Well, and there you go. And it's always the simple things that work the best, and they do tend to be free. But the problem with that is anything that is really easy to do, it's just as easy not to do.
The slight edge.
There's the rub, isn't it?
I love that book.
These things would be so easy. Doesn't have to take, like you said, doesn't have to take too much time. And you know, if you're working for yourself, plan it in your day. Yeah, I've got a little mini trampoline over there. And some, you know, if I've been sat on Zoom for, you know, hour after hour, I'll just get up, have a few little bounces and then get off. It just turns sort of, you know, because I've been sat here the whole time. But yeah, getting out and having a walk. So you're really covering, the mental, the physical, and you mentioned Reiki there. So what was your introduction? How did you get introduced to doing Reiki?
I just started reading books like Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. That's really favourite book of mine. And then The Road Less Travelled, Feel the Fear, and Do It Anyway. So I really got into the personal development books, and I just started exploring. And I started going through the burnout and the stress in my 20s. So I thought Reiki just seems like a really good thing to do. It was a bit hippy-dippy back then. It was well out there. It wasn't even seen as a proper therapy until about not even 20 years ago, probably 15 years ago. Everyone thought it was a bit woo-woo. So I just decided I wanted to do it and practiced every day. I loved it because it was a a see, feel, do. And it was all about listen to the hands. It was very practical. So I'm not, and you know, you get some therapies are very, ooh, I'm not very grounded, very businesslike. I like things done in a certain way. So it needs to be done a certain way. I don't know whether that's the autistic side, but I like things in the same way, if possible. Mm-hmm.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, right. I mean, I'm all for that. I'm talk about that. I've got mine here. I call it, so I'm not trained in Reiki, but I'm all about energy healing. And so I say I'm cheating. I've got my little device that can send out frequencies. So I've got something that can do it for me. One
you can
day,
charge
maybe
crystals.
I'll learn it.
I charge up crystals for people and put them on the knees and stuff. But I do channel a lot online as well in my stretch zone. So
you're not just this. Okay, so that wasn't mentioned on there. So you're a channeler too. Fantastic.
Yeah, I've been doing that for a very, very long time. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, when it's just natural to
your business.
Yeah, when it's just natural to you, it's just you don't really speak about it too much. I just go in and do. So all of my classes, there will be the channeling, there'll be the Reiki, the energy work.
So it's a nice combo, because then that's unique to you, because then there's going to be no one else that's going to. And this is how I feel. Like all the coaches that are out there, this is why we do what we do, is everybody's different. Everybody's got different tools in their toolbox. Everybody's doing slightly different things, helping with, you know, I mean, obviously you're doing something very specific, very niche. And I think that's the beauty of it. You can then bring all your tools into this package so that you have a unique program to offer people. So with you, when you say, like you struggled in school and that, but how old were you when you were officially diagnosed?
I was 21 or 22 when I was officially diagnosed with dyslexia. I was at the Open University. They noticed my oral comprehension didn't match my written, so I'd be speaking like 98% or something, but only get 30-odd% in the exam.
Ah, so that's interesting, shall I say. I have to be careful with my choice of words there. That how was that not picked up in your school?
It was just seen as naughty or disruptive.
I mean, so it took through, you know, you're now an adult, Open University, they've picked up on it and finally gave you a diagnosis. And having that diagnosis, how did that help you personally? Did it put your mind at ease? How did it affect you?
Well, I ended up getting my diploma in health and social welfare. So I ended up going to university and passing. Wasn't easy. Most people, it took them 2 years. Me, it took me 5 years to finish.
But you did it. And if you hadn't have been diagnosed, do you feel that you would have still done it?
No, because I wouldn't have got the help. Because people just say, we need to give you extra time. Extra time is no use. It's like pushing someone in a wheelchair across sand or making them.
Yeah, what's the point?
You're just dragging out the torture.
That sounds to me.
to pass my yoga and Pilates, this is just another subject altogether. But it was hell on earth to actually pass the anatomy and the physiology in the way it was written. I had to get the teacher to actually go through, stand in front of me, so I could point the bones and the muscles and everything out.
So it's proving that you had the understanding of it. It's just that you were struggling to put it actually into. And so there you go. I mean,
put a body in front of me. I'm watching the telly thinking I need to sort his neck out. I need to sort that muscle out. And I just see in the person's as a whole.
Yeah,
as an energy.
You see that, right. So with the other thing that you do, so what was the idea behind you've got the stretch zone Mind Gym, and who is that for?
Well, the Stretch Zone Mind Gym is for the carers, the lone parents, the people who struggle to get to the gyms because of anxiety, because of stress, because of struggling to actually
right,
get there.
So that's your online program. So that is your wellness program.
Online and offline. So okay. I've always seen that in people. I can't get to the gym because I'm too anxious. Oh, I'm too fat. Or I'm too, you know, they have
yeah,
all this
self-conscious and yeah.
So the mind gym is, it doesn't matter how much exercise you do. If you've not sorted your head out, then no amount of exercise or makeup or clothes is going to make you feel any better. Mm. So I work a lot on the mindset.
It's all coming from mindset, isn't it? Because it starts with mindset, and then because that's going to affect what you do. So start there and then work.
But a lot of things that are out there, like that the doctors will say, just you need to lose weight, just diet and exercise.
Ugh,
but they don't give
rubbish.
You any
any
way of getting there, or if you're anxious and struggling to get out, you're not going to go to a gym, are you?
And it's not going to help anyway, because if there's too much cortisol running through your body, then there's going to be no effect. You're not going to lose weight because your body's going to hold on to it. So, yes. And I hope that things are changing, that people are having a more of a holistic approach to everything. It doesn't matter what subject matter, that you've got to combine the mind, the body and spirit. So you are definitely covering all three, which is perfect, because that is what everybody needs. You can't just focus on the one without the other. There's going to be an imbalance. It's all about balancing it all out. So, and yeah, I can remember being you're a single mum with a youngster. It's very, very difficult for time. I mean, back when my eldest was a baby, that was the only reason I had it lucky was because I was teaching. So actually I'd be able to go put my child in the nursery for an hour, go and teach a class and I come back. But if I wasn't teaching, I wouldn't have had that ability. So I'd have been really, really stuck. But only because it was my job, I was able to work in a place where they did have a creche.
Yeah.
And it was a bit like an hour's peace time for mum, even though I'm teaching a fitness class. So it sort of worked both. It worked mental and the physical. And she was okay. She was in the creche for an hour while I taught, and that was it. So yeah, I can totally understand that. It's not just people with other issues, single mums. Yeah, if you're anxious, my daughter as well. I shall maybe have a little chat with her to come and get connected with you, because she's struggling the same. You know, she doesn't want to go to the gym because she is feeling self-conscious. Obviously, she struggles with the anxiety, and to connect with other people that are in the same boat. Because that's the thing, isn't it? They think they're alone. They're the only one, and they're not. Wow.
But I'm going live at 7 tonight in the Stretch Zone. So tonight I'm going to do a back care. So I've got all of my Stretch Zone ready behind me. You might see some
right,
light.
Right, okay.
We're doing
cool.
Audio here, aren't we? I've got my little lamps,
got it
all and candles
there.
And
awesome.
Crystals. It's all ready. I've got my yoga mat spread out.
Fantastic. So for those who are listening, who would like to find out a little bit more, tell us about your book, first of all, and where people can find it to purchase.
Okay, my book's on Amazon, and it's called Unfiltered, under the name of Kelly Ann Chester. I've got my middle name because my mum always called me Kelly Ann. But it's my personal memoir. So that's all about my adult diagnosis and becoming a businesswoman. And the Stretch Zone Mind Gym is you don't do the www anymore, do you?
We don't just need it anymore.
No, the stretchzonemindgym.co.uk, and that's got links to all of my Facebook, Amazon and Facebook. I do mainly
Perfect.
On Facebook.
Yeah. Okay. That, I mean, that's, I love what you're doing. And is, do you sort of look back and you think, well, my whole life has been bringing me up to this point? Because like you said, quite early on, that you were helping your grandmother with rheumatoid arthritis when you were very young. So you'd been putting, you'd always sort of been put in front of this. And so when you look back, do you feel that it was all sort of leading up to where you are right now?
Almost definitely. I did a lot about my grandparents in my book. It's about community. It's about connection. It's about grassroots. My granddad knew that I struggled. He could see I was struggling. He struggled himself, I think. So he always encouraged me. And he said, don't care that your cousin may be getting 9 O levels, 3 A levels. You are doing something valuable and important here. And he always told me every day he was proud of me.
Ah, oh, there you go. There you go. It goes a long way, right?
It
Having
does.
People that actually believe in you. So with regards to all of this, so what's your sort of next step now? So because you spoke earlier about that, you're really now passionate about making changes to give more support in the schools. Where do you see everything going moving forward now?
Well, it's just getting the funding together so that I can get all the platforms together, because that's where I've had the stumbling block, is I've got the idea and I've got the passion there, but it's putting it in that poshed up way, as I call it, that they'll take me seriously. I have a business coach that's helped me put the wellbeing network together, but it's just having the right people who know the right connections, which I've found, so they'll be able to put me in front of the right people. And I felt it was right because I got the tingling with the head.
Ah.
But, you know, when they say go with your guts.
Yes.
So I'm really pushing forward. People say, oh, you don't need funding. You don't, but it has got to that stage of the business for it to grow. I do need that backing. I do need the team.
Yeah, sure. And you know, I think, you know, the trouble is people start out in a business and they think they've got to do everything themselves.
Yeah.
And that's not a business. You've just bought yourself a job. You just bought yourself a full-time job. If you're getting to the stage and you're ready to scale, yeah, you're going to need funding because there's things to do and you can't do it by yourself. You will need a team and it will take money. So, you know, that's the thing. I think some people have this different sort of mindset that they're going to try everything and do it by themselves. And man, that's a slow route and it's an exhausting route.
It is.
So yeah, if you can get funding to take your business to the next level, oh, I wish you all the success in that. I wish you all the success in that. So exciting times ahead then for you.
Oh, definitely. I'm so excited. Unfiltered is about coming back to me before I even thought there was something wrong with me, even though there wasn't. So it's about helping people become their true authentic selves.
Any more books in the pipeline?
It's not going to be my book. It's my son is actually writing a cookbook at the moment.
Oh, fantastic. Excellent.
Yeah, so he's already done 43 pages of it. So it's just a matter of us getting some time together to put it together.
Now, how awesome would that be? See, you know, he's only 11. Just he could be an entrepreneur making more money than any of them by the time he leaves school. So there you go. This, it just goes to show there's something for everybody. Again, it's just about, you know, in the schools, they're pushing people into a box and not everyone belongs in that blooming box. they should be out the box and that's when they'll thrive. And I think that's the thing. So much pressure is put on all these kids to be a specific way. And if they're not, they are made to feel like there's something wrong. And there isn't. They're all different and they're all beautiful and perfect in their own way and should be able to be free to find the right thing for them. Love that. Love what you're doing. I bet But your son is a very lucky boy to have a mum like you that understands it all as well and can help him going. So, look, thank you so much for your time today. So I'm going to let you get back to your stretch zone mind gym. So to the listeners, once again, what's the website if you'd like to repeat your website?
It's thestretchzonemindgym.co.uk.
.co.uk. Perfect. Thank you for that. And to everybody else, anybody else who's listening, guys, if you are a coach yourself and you're ready to scale your business and need help with either designing, creating, marketing, or selling your own program, then come to the website up there, or you can book a short informal chat with me, KarenRobertsCoaching.com/discovery. Otherwise, I will be back. We'll be back on Monday with Coffee with Karen. So bye for now.
Coffee with Karen. Coffee with Karen podcast. A weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.